Would you like to live your best life possible, regardless of your imperfections? Discover cutting-edge tools and inspiration to let go of your limitations and expand your life beyond what you've ever imagined. On Imperfect Brilliance, we help you tap into your unique gifts and talents, uncovering and letting your brilliance shine. Join certified facilitator and coach Betsy McLaughlin as she delves into different areas of your life to get unstuck and create the life that is truly possible for you. Betsy has changed her life by utilizing the tools and techniques she is sharing with you. What if your willingness to acknowledge your brilliance is the catalyst to creating a new reality? When you stop judging you, what else can you create in your life and in the world? Join Betsy live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern to create magical and joyous possibilities for an hour of laughs, questions, tips, and more. We are excited to contribute and play with you.
Welcome, everyone, to Imperfect Brilliance. I am your host, Betsy McLaughlin. And today we are talking about one of my favorite things, our furry friends. And we are talking about animal communication. I'm wondering, you know, has there ever been a time when all of a sudden your pet's food dish flashed in your head? You know, you're maybe washing the dishes and all of a sudden your empty food dish flashed in your head, or something like that, or you're out on a walk with your dog and you're just thinking, you might have just these random thoughts that are popping into your head. And so our conversation today is with Susie Gotze. And Susie is an Access Consciousness Certified Specialty Class Talk to the Animals Program Director. And she also is amazing. She does a lot of behind the scenes brilliance with Access Consciousness and live streaming classes around the world. She's just amazing. I've had the honor of knowing Susie for many years now. She also is the founder of a unique and powerful modality called ESSI, which is energetic synthesis of structural embodiment. Susie has quite a unique talent and capacity from my point of view, about bodies, and she really has an awareness of people's bodies, and I'm sure of animals' bodies too. And she has an ability to listen and to learn from animals and give people tools to facilitate others in communicating more and knowing that animals have, you know, their very different way of how they see the world. And I'm really been looking forward to this conversation today about how we can improve our communication with our furry friends. So welcome to the show, Susie.
Thank you so much, Betsy. And wow, thank you for the introduction. It's always fun to listen to who you are when somebody else tells the story and you're like, whoa, okay, cool. Yeah. Of course, you know, don't see yourself that way, but thank you so much. Oh, and
you're so welcome. And yeah, Susie literally coordinates the live stream events that Access Consciousness puts on around the world, where then there'll be classes, you know, classes in a classroom. So you can be there in person, or you could be, you know, let's say the class is in Houston, Texas, for an example. We have a couple classes coming up there, but you could be in Sweden and choose not to travel to the class, be at home in your robe and still be participating in the class. And so the magic and the brilliance that Susie and her team does behind the scenes to make it completely seamless, seem like all you do is push one little button and people are connected. So, you know, kudos to you and your team. And one of the many amazing things that I find about the company of Access Consciousness and all the people who contribute to it behind the scenes is that we're constantly asking, how can we make things better, faster, quicker, easier? And, you know, so nobody's sits and rests on their laurels. And, you know, Susie's always looking and pushing the envelope and doing things that no other companies are doing. And so I just love that. That's one of the amazing things that I find about things that you do, Susie.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I just have to warn you, we are just getting a hailstorm here. And unfortunately, sometimes my internet dish doesn't hold up in those things. So if I'm all of a sudden gone, it's not because I don't love you. So I'm just sort of giving you that little warning here as I'm closing windows real quick. That came very sudden.
The joy of summer storms, you know, they'll come out of nowhere. And
sure did.
Well, and that could actually be kind of an interesting place to start our conversation. You know, we're talking about how pets and animals communicate to us. So have you ever had an animal communicate to you that there's been some weather something going on with weather?
I can't really say that per se, but the interesting thing is, Betsy, like, I know that there are animal communicators out there that have a really, really very strong and particular sense when they are receiving the communication, and they can immediately pinpoint where that is coming mm-hmm. from. And that's a real wonderful gift. And a lot of us don't really have that. And I would say if I am tuning into a specific animal, I can have a communication. But for me to walk through the world and then pinpoint where information is coming from is not necessarily the easiest thing. And I think most of us are like that. We receive a lot of information all the time, but we actually don't know where it's coming from, and we assume it's our thoughts because it is mm-hmm. so clear in our head. And so we think, oh, I'm thinking that, or somebody, you know, but we don't ever go into that space of, oh, you know, I'm receiving information. There's an information coming here from somewhere. I don't know where it's coming from, but it's coming in loud and clear. But we assume, no, this must be my thought. And so, you know, if you have a thought about, oh, I should be taking my laundry in, you know, which I did have an hour ago and then promptly forgot, and now it's hanging in the in the hail. So great. You know, but like, those are the things where, you know, this might have been from an animal saying, hey, there's some weather coming, you know, but I was thinking about my laundry on the line and then I just ignored mm-hmm. it. So, you know, how often do we do that? Like, I find that often, very often, we have this information coming in, and it's very loud and clear, and yet we brush it aside and we just go, oh yeah, the laundry, you know, I'll do it later. Well, now I'm gonna have to see if Papa fell on the ground because of this really strong rain. May have to be rewashed now.
Well, one of the things that I was looking at it. I've had animals, you know, all through growing up. We always had cats or dogs, and at one point, my mom decided it would be fun to have ducks. Just all kinds of different animals have been part of my life. And I was just looking at all the different ways that they do communicate with you, and you know, they certainly are very clear with you when they want something.
Yes. they find a way usually to get your attention, and if you don't listen, they will step up their game if it's important enough to them. You know, and I think that most people really have the possibility and the gift and the ability to communicate telepathically with pretty much anything, but of course with your animals too. It's just what gets in the way so often are our emotions, you know, our conclusions that we have about certain situations, or just that we have decided something is so. You know, so often when somebody comes and asks me about a problem that they have with an animal, it's not that they haven't received a lot of information, but they have interpreted that information in the way that they have already decided where possibly the issue is. For example, you know, if you adopted an animal or something a long time ago and there's something that shows up, you know, so many times people go into, well, it's because the animal was abused or the animal had a background of abuse or something. But what if that's not the case? Then you're constantly circling around this issue, coming at it from an area that is not actually correct. And that's when it gets tricky and sticky, because that's when people start to basically try to solve something that maybe it is coming from a very different angle. And if you're not willing to receive the information about that, you're not going to be able to really look beyond what you have already decided it is. So that I find is oftentimes the biggest thing. You know, not every animal that looks at you in a certain way is hungry. Not every animal that looks at you in a certain way is sad, you know. So, but a lot of people come immediately to those conclusions when they see a certain look or a certain behavior in an animal.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And so if you're, and it's, I talk a lot about the tools of access consciousness on this show and about being in question and having this part of the conversation with animals as well. And to, you know, stay in the question about what is, you know, what's truly going on, and to not to stay out of your conclusion or what you think it is, also does definitely apply to animals as well.
Absolutely. And I can actually give a great example of that, because I deal with that all the time. So when you ask this question, just energetically, and I'm going to ask you this question now, but also anybody who's listening. So I'm going to ask this question. So truth, are animals jealous? What does the energy say to that? Regardless of what you have decided about it, regardless how many points you can tell me where you have observed in behavior that would definitely tell you that your animal is jealous. Like, you know, you're laying in bed with your dog and your partner is coming in and the dog is growling, like, yeah, right. You know, like, definitely the dog is jealous, right? So you have tons of examples, but what did the energy say? What was the first thing that popped into your head? Was it a yes or was it a no?
For me, you know? It was a no.
Yeah. So that is interesting, right? Because a lot of people would say they're dealing with behaviors of jealousy with their animals, and yet animals actually don't have jealousy. So what is that behavior then that they're showing if it's not jealousy? And what I have found is it's a mixture of things, but also a lot of learned behaviors that animals have that will basically, that has been refined by observing our reaction to their behaviors. And so there is a lot of things mixed together with that, but it is not jealousy per se. It is not that what we have defined jealousy as. So if we're trying to now solve this quote-unquote problem of the dog growling at the partner that wants to climb into bed by the idea that our animal is jealous, we're looking at it from the wrong angle. It doesn't work. So we have to ask, so what is this really? If it's not jealousy, then what is it? What is the dog doing right now? And that's when you start to ask that question, and when you start to be in that question, you start to recognize that, oh, there is something else at play. Maybe this particular dog has decided that he's the leader of the pack, and this person hasn't actually asked for permission to come into the bed. So it has nothing to do with that the dog is claiming the person that's laying in bed already in that way, you know, that we have to find it as. So I'm just bringing this up because a lot of our emotions that we have are not necessarily the emotions that animals have in the same way.
You know, it's so true. And I would love if you would give us a little bit more information on being the leader of the pack. Because actually was having a conversation
about this just the other day. My mother has a puppy, and, you know, the puppy has not been trained yet. So I was looking at, you know, some of its behaviors, and we were talking about that a little bit. So could you give everybody a little more information on that?
How many hours do we have?
Right?
Leadership is a huge topic, and especially lately with also in our world of people, you know, we're seeing a lot of people that are our leaders, and yet are they people that you would like to actually follow, and not follow blindly, but what I mean is, would you like to follow their lead? Would you like to follow their path in life? And a lot of the people that I see as leaders, that are our leaders at the moment, I would not want to like follow one step, you know? So the same is true for animals. Animals don't see you as the leader if you're being, we have defined leadership in so many strange ways, but a lot of times it's very much correlated with power, having the power over. And for animals, that is just never really the case. Like, leadership is never power over. So leadership is usually a combination of being really very well equipped to respond to things in the environment, making choices that are beneficial to the entire group. And it has nothing to do with the strength of the animal. So, we look at this and we see two stallions fighting, and, you know, and we think it is all about strength, but a fight is not all about strength. It is also about how quickly can you respond or react to something? How quickly can you turn? How quickly can you assess a situation, and how can you maneuver? So these are all other things also that play with that, that have more to do with the way that an animal functions in the world, not just its muscle strength. So animals really respect leaders that have sort of some smarts, but they are also in a way really protecting and aware of their group, and are willing to also be there for the group, have the group's back. And it's really interesting because in elephant behavior, they have now seen that sometimes if the elephant is moving one direction and another one actually knows where to go because it's a drought, they will follow that one.
Wow. Love this conversation with Susie Gatti. We'll be back very soon. Hang on, guys, for more information.
Free your mind with OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. OM Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Dad, this is fun. I didn't think I'd like kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, but I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm going to return the kayak.
Can we walk home?
How about a taxi?
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Talking today with Susie Godsey about the way that animals communicate. And right before the break, we started to dive into talking about leadership and awareness that animals will have. And so Susie was talking a little bit about the leader of the pack and how they have an awareness, and you can follow the elephants. They're aware of a drought or things like that, where they'll take the herd and go somewhere else looking for the water. There's that example when there was a tsunami coming. I can't remember the country, but all the elephants are going inland. You know, the animals were going inland. They knew. And if more people had, you know, and I know a lot of people did pay attention to what the animals were doing. And I wonder, you know, even how much more they're communicating that we could actually start to become aware of. And so that's one of the many reasons why I was so excited for this conversation that we're having today with you, Susie.
Well, thank you so much, Betty. And like I said, I'm excited to be here. And, you know, there's so much we can talk about with this. Like I said, the leadership conversation alone could be hours of conversation. But you were just saying, you know, what is it that animals can really also share with us? And I have really found, and this may sound really strange, but I have found animals really communicate things to me that I didn't really think were possible for an animal to know. And I mean, this may sound really far-fetched and strange, but I did once have a conversation with an earthworm, and that earthworm was telling me some stuff, and I don't remember what it was saying, but the one thing that I remember that was so clear and loud was, well, of course I know everything. I eat bacteria, and they are everywhere. And I was like, okay, this is really interesting. So, you know, but you know, what if we really acknowledge that these animals around us, whether they're insects or dolphins, you know, we have these weird categories where we put these animals in, but what if we didn't have those categories? What if we actually acknowledge that all animals have an awareness, have consciousness? And if you ask a question, these animals will give you some kind of information. And, you know, people might say, well, it's a dumb fly, I'll swat it. Fine, I swat flies too, it's not about that. But I was having a course in, you know, doing something, and I was in a horse barn, and I was standing there, and this one fly kept landing on my nose. And of course I kept, you know, making the fly move, you know, like, go away, go away, go away. And it kept landing on my nose and kept landing on my nose. And finally I said, okay, wait a minute, what is going on here? And I said, what do you have to contribute? What is it that you would like to say? And then I don't remember exactly what came out of my mouth, but the whole class just sat there and like basically stared at me like, are you for real? And then in that moment, when it was all said, the fly took off and never came back. And I was like, whoa, that was interesting. Like, I had never had anything like that before. But what if we really allowed these animals to contribute to us and share with us things that we may have otherwise not noticed or seen or perceived or known even about what's going on. So
wow. Yeah, and you know, it's so true. We don't really look or think that a fly is going to contribute to you, and then that you actually stopped and you asked a question. It was like, oh, I wonder if there is something going on here. And then to get an awareness, and then it left you alone. That's actually quite a funny story. Okay, my job is done. See ya.
Exactly.
I love it. Oh my gosh. And you know, so with
we've already kind of gone all over the place, which is what we do here on this show for sure. We follow the energy, and I don't have a preset, agenda of what we're going to talk about at all. And so we've already talked a little bit about, you know, leadership and awareness. And I know that you work a lot with horses, and it just kind of popped in to ask you to talk a little bit more about, I know with when, like when you're riding a horse, for sure, the horse is very clear with you and communicating. If you like start to check out, you know, some of their behaviors and what they will do and how they really demand that you stay very present with them when you're riding them. So could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, that is a really interesting topic, because horses, of course, are prey animals and we are predators. So we're not really meant to have a connection at first, you know, for just out in the natural world, a predator and a prey animal usually don't hang out together and have a good time. So, and that is really something that we have to be aware of when we're working with horses, because they have to overcome their natural instinct of like, oh, I should stay away from this thing. And we have to really also be aware that when we are approaching them, we always are a predator to them in that sense. So there's a lot of trust that has to really be developed between both. And a lot of horses have a lot of respect for people. And then also horses have learned that they have their size is pretty intimidating. And so some horses have also learned how they can keep people in check, because they do a certain behavior, a person runs away. Well, if that's what they desire to create, they will use this behavior again, and they will gradually step it up more and more and more if their target is basically to not interact with a person for whatever reason. So there is a lot of like nuances with all of this that we just have to be aware of. But yes, with a horse in particular too, they are a herd animal as well. So when you're going out on a ride with them and it's just you and the horse, you are the herd. And so in the herd, again, one of you has to be the leader. And if you are not being the leader, if you're not being willing to be aware of your environment, the horse has to become the leader. So, and if they then have a sense that, oh, something is up, and they want to run because, you know, fight or flight, so this is also built in. So if they want to run away from something and you're sitting on top and you're this heavy ballast and there might be something chasing, well, wouldn't you want to get rid of that thing on your top first so that you can run faster? So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things that we just have to be aware of when we are on horseback. And again, it's not about overpowering the horse to make them do what you want them to do, but to really develop that trust. And it's not necessarily the easiest thing to do. It's a skill that you have to develop, and it's a skill to be a leader, because again, leader is not working from force and power over. Leader is being that energy that the animal wants to gravitate towards and wants to naturally move along with. And that is an energy that has a lot of peace and calm in it. It doesn't have frantic in it. It doesn't have aggression in it. You know, all these things are not there for the natural leadership. So there's a lot of people out there that are natural horsemen that teach sort of that, you know, that being with the horse. And we have actually in Access Consciousness, we have a course called Conscious Horse, Conscious Rider, which also shows you the basics of this, you know, like the basics of gaining trust with each other and the basics of being that space and that natural leader that a horse would naturally would like to come along with and is not going to fight. So yes, and one part of that is being present. And you know, a lot of people are like, what does that even mean? Aren't I present when I have my eyes open? But being present is really that that space that you are willing to be, that is aware of everything at all times. And so you're not thinking about other stuff that's going on, but you're willing to be right here and present with whatever that is going on around you. And also that goes on further out, not just in your immediate surroundings, but really quite further out, especially when you're with a horse. You want to extend your awareness for miles because that's where horses live. They are aware of miles around them. So you have to be willing to be that, even if you don't know how. You just have to be willing to go, okay, no matter what that is, I'm going to push my senses, my limits out to have that much awareness.
Yes, and you know, I've marveled too, like a dog, they'll perk up, you know, their ears perk up, and they're aware of something, and they're telling you, and like, oh, what do you see, what do you hear? And then after that, you know, a car will come around the corner, or somebody will come walking up, or whatever, and I marvel at the ability they have to pick up things so, like, that are way farther out, like you just talked about, than what the awareness that we have.
Well, and then with that, Betsy, have you actually ever asked your body to duplicate what the dog can do?
You know what? I have not. I love that question. I'm gonna do
just
that
so
for sure. So duplicate the awareness that the dog has. I love it. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
So I would love, before we veer off into wherever else we're going to go, I know that you've got some specialty classes coming up, and would you mind sharing that information with everyone and also letting them know how they can reach you if they have more questions after they listen to this show?
Sure. So we do have a class in Access Consciousness that is called Talk to the Animals. And currently there are two facilitators that are doing the main courses. And one of them is Viv Adcock from Australia, and the other one is myself. And we are having a few classes coming up online that you can join. It's a telecall. And you might think, well, how do I learn talking to animals on a telecall? It's actually really fun because you have to be willing to tap into an energy rather than relying on looking at an animal. So all those cues that you might normally try to get from an animal body are not there. So it immediately brings you to a very different skill set. And people have commented after those telecalls that they really have gotten so much more out of it than they would have imagined possible, and that they really started to have a sense of animal communication from a very different perspective. So there's two of those coming up. One Viv is doing from the Australia time zone. I am doing it from the European time zone a little bit, so everybody can find what works for them if you're interested. And so the easiest way to find them is to go to the Access Consciousness site and find either Viv Adcock as a facilitator or myself, and you can then find those classes that are coming up. We also have some live classes in Europe this year. And then for the first time ever, we're doing together an advanced animal communication class in Germany this year as well. And for that, you do have to come to the other ones first, but still, we're very, very, very excited. This is going to be our first time co-facilitating this particular class. So I'm excited
for
that.
So how can people find out more information on the class?
Actually, really, truly, easiest is to go to accessconsciousness.com and then either like /Suzy Gotzi or /Viv Adcock, and you can find our classes listed there. So that's one way to really find that with ease. And I don't actually know if accessconsciousness.com has a /talk-to-the-animals, but that would be great. There is also a talktotheanimals.com website, but that always doesn't always have all the classes listed right away.
Wonderful. And I just love communicating with animals and wondering, you know, like what questions could people be asking to increase their ability to communicate with animals?
Yeah, one thing is really what I find is, what if you started to look at where you are already communicating, where you maybe have brushed it away or haven't acknowledged it. So again, those are the things you mentioned in the very beginning of the show. You know, you have a thought pop into your head, or you have an awareness about something, and what if that was actually a communication you were receiving? I, for example, I don't know anybody who waters their plants on a schedule, you know. But
that's
don't
true.
You sometimes walk around and go, "Ooh, I have to water the plants." Well, where is that thought coming from? Not because all of a sudden you have a thought, "Oh, I haven't watered my plants in a week, I should do it." But that's probably the plants going, "Hello, we're thirsty. Somebody, anybody over here, will you please, hello, thirsty, thirsty, needing some water." So, you know, the everything communicates around us all the time. So what if you were willing to really start by acknowledging those moments? And those are also the moments where you knew you should do something, and, you know, sometimes you listen to it and sometimes not. But that, again, are the same. That's the same energy with which animals are communicating. They communicate energetically, as well as with their body language, as well as with sound. But first and foremost, there is an energy. And the energy always talks way louder than anything else. And if you're willing to start to perceive that energy, you're going to have a greater awareness of yourself with that. So this would be my suggestion. Stop judging you and start acknowledging you for the awareness you're already having.
I love that. What a great tip. As we go to our second break, we're here today with Susie Gatzi, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned for more great information.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. This cat makes me make art. He's always motivating me to draw pictures of him. He just is motivating artistically. He's my best friend, but a lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
Keyboard Cat, YouTube star and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Start yours today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Imperfect Brilliance. I'm so grateful for you guys listening in and your emails. You guys can always send me an email at accessbetsy, B-E-T-S-Y, at gmail.com for any, you know, show ideas, or if there's somebody you'd like me to have come on the show and interview, I'm happy to. So your all's questions and suggestions really help
shaped the show. And I'm so grateful. I've had the show for several years now. And you guys can always check out the archives at ometimesradio.com. And you can also find them on iTunes. So you just search Imperfect Brilliance iTunes, and all the shows will pop up there. We've had a lot of amazing guests on. And my website, just to give you guys quick information, you can find me at creatingyumminess.com. And I'm on Facebook with Imperfect Brilliance or through my name. So lots of ways to find me. You can also find me as well as Susie Gotze on the Access Consciousness website as well. Just search for our names and then all of the classes that we are facilitating at that particular moment in time will pop up. And so welcome back, Susie, and thank you so much for this conversation today. I love the questions that you're asking and really getting me to think, like, where else can I expand my knowledge and my communication with all of the animals, not just our pets, but all of the animals, you know, all of them that are out in nature, the birds, and you even mentioned insects, which, you know, a lot of people don't really even think about other than maybe what a pain they can be. And, you know, as I had a mosquito that was swarming me earlier today, I'm like, okay, you need to go somewhere else. You know, like, you need to stop bothering me. And so it's really like not shutting down what you are aware of. And right before the break, you did even mention too, like, acknowledging everywhere that you are probably way more aware than you've ever even looked at or given yourself credit for. And I wonder, even by acknowledging what you do know already, what that actually contributes to you and all of the animals that you're in communication and in communication with.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, and that is the greatest, just a start. And it's a muscle that we all know and have. It's just one that has atrophied, because in school and in our upbringing, we were taught that we had to pay attention to everything that was real and, you know, written, and what, you know, like the equations basically in life. We were taught that that was how we should really believe in what is true and real, instead of really also trusting our own knowing. And in that, there is that communication and the willingness to listen to when something is nudging you. And as a kid, you had that ability. You were aware of the things around you in a different way, and you're willing to communicate with things that were inanimate objects, or at least, you know, you called them that, or your parents called them that, but to you,
right,
they were often very real. You know, your teddy bear had a life of his own, like, and why not?
Yep.
You know, everything has consciousness. So, and so for some kids, it was a lifesaver to have that teddy bear to talk to. So,
true.
We know how to speak with energy. It's just kind of been beaten out of us. And so now is the time, maybe, if you choose it, to really go, hey, I know how to do this, let me practice. And it's really a muscle. Just start flexing that muscle. And don't brush things off. When you are getting some information from an animal and you find out later it's correct, don't go, oh God, that was just serendipitous. No. Pat yourself on the back and say, well, that was cool, and how can I have more of this? How can I have even more of this ability? How does it get better than this? And really acknowledge that you did get it. And even if you didn't get it 100%, then just go, oh, wow, I knew a part of that. I was aware of that. I didn't know the whole thing, but I was aware of part of that. Start acknowledging those moments so that the universe will deliver more and more and more and more. So feed that side of things, and not your judgments of yourself, which is what we usually like to feed. You know, we come very quickly to the judgment of us.
Yes, for sure. And One of the things that, for me, having, beloved animals throughout my life and just looking at all the different ways they have communicated with us, and there's been times, you know, when I have even, you know, I've heard others say it or I've said it myself, like, I don't know what you're telling me right now. You know, if the dog is looking at me and barking or whimpering, and I don't do that near as much as I used to now, it's because before I didn't have the tools, the questions that we talk about on the show, where it's like, now if a dog is going to whimper at me or bark at me, and I would ask, like, what are you telling me? What am I not getting here? And so, to me, that's a great shift, and I am taking the time to acknowledge that. And so, like, looking at, okay, well, maybe I do know way more than I ever have acknowledged, and say, all right, what do I know here? And then I wonder, like, how, because I know that we don't communicate the same way that animals do, and I've heard, and I'd love to hear your take on this, that when you're talking with, when you're communicating, like, say, with your dog, that if you communicate with them in pictures, that is a really easy way to communicate with them.
And for some people, that really is true. You know, Gary Douglas also communicates in pictures with animals, and most people do. Most people really do get a movie of something or a picture flashes. And that was one thing before I stumbled across Access Consciousness, I did quite a few animal communication courses that I attended, and I failed them utterly because I, for myself, I decided, well, I'm not getting pictures, so I must do this wrong. And yet I was getting information, but it was never the same way other people were getting it. And so I decided, well, I don't know how to do this. I am stupid. I don't have the ability. This is just not working. And so I kind of gave up until I started with Access, and then Gary Douglas encouraged me and basically pointed out that, hey, what are you doing? You know, why aren't you communicating with others about what you know about animals? And I'm like, I don't know anything about animals. So it's really it's this interesting path that we go on. And please just acknowledge that you really individually will receive the anagenic communication in a very unique way. And no other person in this entire world is going to have the same way of receiving that like you do. So everybody has a very different way of that. And for some of you, it may be pictures, and it may be movies, and it may be all sorts of things. For others, it may be words that you hear in your head. I often hear a sentence in my head. Or it's just something you know. You don't even know where it came from. It's just there all of a sudden. It didn't obviously come as a sentence or a picture. It's just something you know all of a sudden. So please trust that all of these are possible ways that energy communicates with you. None of it is worse or better. It's just different. And the more you're willing to acknowledge that for yourself, the easier it will be for you to receive this energetic communication that is going on. So, and, you know, and you could do an exercise where you just sit and, well, I say sit, you don't have to sit, by all means. If you're totally relaxed running or walking, and that is your way of just sort of being in that space of emptying your head, then by all means do that. But when you're in that space where your head is really calm and you are in that space of receiving, just ask a question of an animal around you, a simple question, something that is not super complicated, not a philosophical question like, do you like your life? You know, that's a lot. But something simple. You know, very simple, like, do you like your food? Or something that you could really sort of immediately, once you ask a question, you immediately will perceive an energy, immediately. You may not have the words to translate that, but there's always something there right away when you ask the question. So it can take weeks sometimes to really unravel what the words were that came with that, but you immediately get an energy. And so if you don't know what that energy is, just sort of be with it, just allow it to be there, just acknowledge it, recognize it. And then if you didn't get words with it or a movie with it or an awareness with it that led you right away to some kind of, answer, more or less, then just see if you come across that energy. Oh, what situation am I in right now? Whoa, this is the energy that I was perceiving when I was asking this question. So what am I doing right now? Oh, I'm looking at a newspaper. I'm reading something. Or I am standing somewhere looking at something. And so you will find that the universe will start to give you the information in a different way.
Wow. There's so much wonderful information in this conversation. Thank you so much for sharing what you've learned and your willingness to just keep going and keep asking questions. And you're not, sitting here telling us that you know everything and there's only one way to do it. And I'm wondering too, with just like people, every animal's different, and even every situation with an animal is going to be different. So it's not like a one size fits all, one stop shop kind of thing. Is that correct?
Absolutely, and I think that sometimes we're, especially in the horse world, people try to approach horses in the same way, and horses are never the same. Like you say, they're all individuals. And if you try to figure out a method and then approach an animal with a method, it's not going to work. You can learn skills and you can learn tools and you can learn different things from people that you adore or you think like they're doing great stuff. Copy what they're doing and still be aware, because some animals will not respond to that. Or if they respond to it in an unexpected way, be willing to then alter what you're doing and see what is required for this particular individual to basically create whatever it is that you were going to look to create with this animal. And even with that, ask questions. Ask the animal ahead of time, how do you learn? How do you learn things? Mm. And the animal will give you an energy, and then you can start approaching them with that energy. And, and if something is not working, take a step back and go, okay, so what is it that I'm doing right now that is not clear to you? What is it that I am asking for? Like, do you know what I'm asking for? And sometimes when I sort of hit a roadblock with an animal like that, I go, do you know what I desire right now? And the animal goes, I have no clue. And then I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Well, no wonder it's not going anywhere. How would an animal, most animals are so willing to deliver for us, and they're so willing to learn things, and they're so willing to be with us and all of that. Mm-hmm. And so, when things aren't working, maybe look also, am I approaching the situation in a way that the animal actually gets it? Or am I trying to, basically beating a dead horse, it's not working. Mm-hmm. So what else can you choose, and maybe just look at that too. Like, am I asking for something that the animal cannot deliver? That's also a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result,
yes,
for animals just as well.
Absolutely.
And it does just, relationships. So it is, and it is relationships. It's a different kind of relationship, but absolutely a relationship. So I wonder what we can all do to nurture and expand our relationships with all of the animals of the world. And, what can we contribute to them? They're so willing to contribute to us all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder, even in this conversation today, what have we contributed to our wonderful, animals of the world?
Good question.
So with thanks, I know, and I'm like, I wonder what we have changed and contributed to them. So we just have, a couple of minutes left. I would love if you have any, final words of advice or questions that people could be asking and implementing in their lives with the animals in their lives.
Yeah, really being a question helps a lot. So when you're in a situation with your animal that is frustrating, really not going down the road of frustration, but being in that sense of, okay, so what else is possible here? What am I missing? What is going on here? What is really going on here? And so what if I didn't come from any preconceived ideas about the situation or about my animal or about myself? And what else can I ask here to change this? And so then that is one way to maybe look at this in a different way.
Thank you so much, Susie, for coming on today and sharing your amazing questions with all about our animals.
Thank you so much for having me, Betsy.
It was a pleasure. And you guys can reach Susie Godsey, SUZYGODSEY, at accessconsciousness.com, talktotheanimals.com. And you guys have a great week. Thanks again for listening to Imperfect Brilliance. I'm so grateful for you guys. Take care.